Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, the show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Hey, welcome everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Atkinson, and every once in a while, we want to bring you an update on what's going on in the world and the economy and how that affects us here in the speaking business. Andrew Bush is an economist. He's a client. He's a friend of the podcast, and he brings us a clear understanding of what's coming down the pike. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
It's always a pleasure to be on with you, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Well, now, for people who might have missed previous episodes, please tell everybody kind of what you do day to day in your business and a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I'm an unusual guy. I call myself an economic futurist because I'm an economist, but I don't just do the economy. I really try to help people understand where we've been, where we are, and where we're going for their business. And so for every client that we get to keynote for and others that we get to consult for, we run through the economy. We talk about a lot of what's going on there. Obviously, supply chain, labor supply, inflation, war in the Ukraine. These are all really important topics. We also talk about the government policies that are impacting their business. But the thing that I deliver that's really unique, and we have a lot of fun with this for every sector of the economy, is what we'll do is we'll do a case study on that industry. And we'll look at the challenges, but we'll also look at the growth opportunities that are coming for not just today or tomorrow or even 18 months from now, but really 5 and 10 years down the road. So it's been a blast, and it's been fascinating to see what's been going on in the world, because it's very busy right now, obviously, with a lot of terrible things happening. Mm-hmm. But out of tragedy, there comes a lot of opportunities. And so opportunities of change, opportunities of positive change. Who would have thought Sweden and Switzerland would have come to the defense of the Ukraine? I mean, these are neutral countries, and we're through World War II. So the world has changed, and some of the things have been changed for better. So that's what I do. My background is a little unusual. I worked for an investment bank for a long time. I was the global currency and public policy strategist for a large investment bank. Then I went out on my own doing research for my boutique research firm. You know, we help clients understand the world and the future. I spent some time in government. I had a really great job there, 2017 and 2018, and then came back to my business. And I'm just having a blast right now and really enjoying getting to know, whether it's doing board of directors meetings or doing conferences, it's really fun to get to know people and what's driving their businesses.
Well, you've mentioned a few of the things that I want to dive into today, things that could affect us and are affecting us right now in the speaking business. Talk a little bit, you mentioned inflation, you mentioned supply chain. Are either of those a huge impact on us in speaking? I know it hits us in the gas pumps. I mean, it hits us in the pocketbook. Right now, individually, will it affect meetings, do you think, and corporate meetings?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think, first of all, the economy has been doing very well in the United States and really globally. So that's great news for everybody in the speaking business and the conference business. COVID, with the exception of China, appears to have been reduced as far as a risk or fear factor for people having conferences. It's still important. It's still something that we all have to be aware of. But A, we're never going to see a shutdown like we saw in 2020. That's never going to happen again. B, I don't think we'll ever see a state shutdown like Hawaii or California again. So we shouldn't see that negatively impact conferences. You will have some companies hesitant to get people together at different times, probably mainly in the wintertime. But that's kind of the overarching view of what's going on right now. Now, of course, with what's happening with the war in the Ukraine, we still haven't seen the full force of the effect on the economy yet, globally.
What does that look like? What is the
effect? It will make it much more expensive to do things. So inflation is going to continue to be an issue. We know interest rates in the United States are going up.
Canada too.
Yeah. In Canada too, right? They just raised rates. Yeah. And we know that because of the shortages for whether it's semiconductor chips or wheat coming out of the Ukraine, things are going to be unstable. And so that's a challenge, because how does that translate or come back to the speaking business? Well, it takes money away from events that some corporate people believe are not as important as other, you know, things. And so where they reduce their money down, where they go, oh, you know, if they paid $50,000 for a speaker before, maybe they only want to pay $30,000. Okay. So I think that's how it would cascade down. We're not at that point yet, but I would say we'll see some of this begin to impact probably starting in the second quarter with people being hesitant to have and plan out their meetings. But I think, Jane, you know as well as I do that the speaking business has changed so much. I get requests from people 4 weeks out. I mean, if that, like sometimes it's 3 weeks. It's crazy.
Okay, let me ask you that. That's probably corporate versus association. Am I right?
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. Okay.
So timelines, even in association world, have definitely, we used to back in the day, probably have, you know, 18-month, 12-month timelines for associations.
Yeah.
But if they're smart, I think, they don't know what people need 18 months from now, and they're tightening those up a little bit. But at the same time, so we can't count on booking stuff a year in advance like we used to.
Right.
And that just means that we're more nimble, they're more nimble. I know people like to be able to look out at their calendar and feel that cash flow coming, but maybe the times have just changed on that forever.
I just will give you two examples. And if you're looking at like booking a celebrity, right? A month ago, you would have loved to have booked Will Smith,
yeah.
Right? But things change.
Yep.
And so, you know, I know a lot of entities, a lot of associations and corporates like to book, you know, celebrities. And I think that's great for what they bring to the table, depending on who they are. But you do have to, you've got a risk of that person at some point. And then, of course, you've got an event like the war in the Ukraine, where, like you said, you know, associations, maybe they like to plan out a year. Now it's probably shortened to at least 6 months. But as I tell people who do that, I go, look, that's great. I totally respect that. But do you realize that the world's changing so rapidly now? Yeah. That yes. Like you really want to be able to be adaptive and bring for your audience the best person who brings the best information available.
Right. Nimble. I think nimble is the call for the future. Yeah. So you are right now at, we haven't had a coaching call for a while, so I'm thinking you're out, you're busy, you're doing it. You're too busy to work on the business because you're out doing the business. So that means that there's a lot of events. So what are you seeing? Are you still seeing some virtual? Are you seeing second and third quarter in-person things?
Yes. Yeah, so last year was a record year for the speaking business. This year, we're on track to beat that by about 25%.
Isn't that
great? And it is. And I think in speaking, and Jane, of course, I'm telling you this, but I'm saying this for everybody else, is like, it takes a while for you to find your voice. You and I worked on this a lot. Like, who are you, Andy? What are you going to deliver on stage? Can you be comfortable doing that? And then also, it takes a while to build that momentum, right? That you need to be successful. And so what's happened from my business is that professionalizing it, getting a really great CRM, really working that aggressively, understanding the relationship that I have with so many of the speaker bureaus, but really also crafting the content that I have, that I've created something truly unique. And it's really, I wouldn't say it's niche, but nobody else, humbly stated, nobody else does what I do. And so that's what's really been fun for me. So as I look at my speaking business and looking into, you know, the coming quarters, a couple of things jump out to me. First of all, I've never been booked out to like the fourth quarter, and I'm already getting booked out that far. So that's really great.
Okay.
The second thing is it's rare to do a virtual. I think this year I've only done one of those.
Wow. Okay. That's an enlightening.
Yeah. And I think it depends on what country you're in. If you're in Canada, you're probably doing virtuals. If you're in the United States, you're probably not. Unless you're in the north.
Conservative. I'm just getting ready to go on the train to Toronto. That's a 2-hour trip. And that's my second time in 2 years that I will have traveled.
Yeah.
And we are meeting for the first time, the same group that I meet with every quarter. We are meeting for the first time in person, very cautiously. Yeah. A lot of rules and things in place. You know, we'll all have a little armband on saying our comfort level for hugs. So I want to go back to something you said, though, because I think it's informative for other people. When you first got into this business, you had a lot of different offerings and you went more and more narrow. One of the things that you do amazingly well, and I hope you're charging good bucks for this, is like you'll really research the heck out of the industry that you're going in to speak on. That has got massive value to it. Like yeah. Not coming in and delivering a canned speech when you're talking to, you know, the corn farmers of Nebraska. You know lots about corn farming in Nebraska when you go in there.
That's right. And of course, the more you do it, the better you get at it. But that's one of the processes that we discovered that is extraordinarily effective, that makes you different. I've seen a lot of other people who are like either futurists or economists, and they talk broadly about what the future looks like, or they talk broadly about what the economy looks like. Right. What I do that is so different is I'll talk about the economy. I'll talk about the administration's regulatory policies, things like that, but it's all tailored to the client.
Right.
And so some of it is an overview of the economy. Yes, that a component, maybe a third of it, will cover every industry just about. But once you get just a little bit into the presentation, you really have to tailor it specifically so that what I think we're doing is connecting the dots from that information back to their business right. to make it meaningful for them.
Yes.
And then at the end, I mean, it, truly doing a case study is really powerful because you're not just saying, well, this could affect you, or this couldn't affect you. You're saying, no, from an outsider's perspective for your industry, and I'm looking at this across the broad spectrum of the entire world, here's where I see five things that are super interesting mm-hmm. about it. And I think that is meaningful for every speaker that's out there. You know, if you're a motivational speaker, I've seen a lot of motivational speakers just have a very cursory understanding of the audience that they're talking to. But this is like speaking 101 that we did way back when. It's like, who is sitting in the audience? What are their problems? What are their needs? That's how you really can connect to an audience and make it successful for them.
And because you have had a job at the White House, you can actually speak firsthand on what a platform that this administration has, how that's going to affect the corn farmers of Nebraska. Like you really are connecting the dots. And I think that that's really interesting for you all to ask yourselves, okay, how can I really help solve the biggest problems of this audience today in your wheelhouse, in your expertise.
Right.
Okay. So what I think I hear you saying is that Ukraine, the war that's going on and is so devastating and so difficult to see what's happening. And do you ever see anything changing in terms of policy? Oh, you do.
Oh, yes. We've already seen it. And yes, there is terrible tragedy going on in the Ukraine. I had this conversation with my son this morning. I said, I really like what I do for a living, but sometimes it's really tough when I have to see shallow graves and people with their hands tied behind their back and shot in the head in the street, right? Those are tough images to get out of your mind. So it's really difficult to see what's going on in Ukraine and see something positive come out of it. Yet, I will tell you, there are really good things that are happening. First of all, we have ended, hopefully, the appeasement of Vladimir Putin from Germany and Europe due to the energy situation. So that's a great thing. It will take time to disentangle Germany, especially because of natural gas, more than oil, away from Vladimir Putin, but that's fantastic.
And that will not come back, right? I mean, cut off a pipeline and that's it, right?
Yeah. And the thing about gas, I don't want to get too granular, but it's regional. Like oil is a global market. Gas is a regional because of the pipelines. But anyway, The thing is, so that's a positive. Switzerland and Sweden moving away from being neutral to actually saying, well, Sweden's sending, you know, weapons and support to the Ukrainians. Germany deciding to finally spend $100 billion on defense spending to shore up what's going on in their country, but also to help the Ukrainians. Just the world coming together to isolate Russia has been a great thing. So there are some really positive things. Getting back to the supply chain, though, there's some really tough things that are going to come from this. And we're going to go through disruptions for the next 6 months to a year and a half because of that. And there will be other places in the world that will become unstable, Turkey being one of them, Egypt being another place, because they get the majority of their wheat from the Ukraine. And so the last time, of course, we had something similar happen where the price of wheat went up significantly, it created conditions for the Arab Spring. So there are things like that that are horrible, but there's also things like, hey, maybe we can rethink where we're at with fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should start to think about, you know, can we accelerate alternative energy? We're never going to quite get there. We're going to need fossil fuels for a very long time, but can we move away from autocratic rulers who are producing petroleum? You know, that's so there's always some good things that are coming out of horrible situations. It's just really hard to see them when there's bodies lying in the street.
Right. And I want people to have perspective when you go to pay at the pump or when your hot tub is going to take an additional 10 months to get in. Like, let's remember, okay, how privileged we are in this world and how lucky we are on so many levels. And I know that most people do remember those things, but I think it's difficult not to complain about some of the minor inconveniences. But really, come on, let's take a look at what's going on around the world and be grateful that we have a roof over our head that is not going to be shelled at some point in the future.
Yeah, it's what we call first world problems, right?
First world problems, exactly. Yeah. And I really want to also note that you are very non-political as you lay these things out. You have studied all administrations and you come to the table with both the positives and the negatives on both sides. You really don't have a huge agenda to push when you're out there doing your work.
No, I think I would do a disservice to my clients if I was imbalanced, if I only thought Democrats did the right thing or Republicans. My focus is always on economic growth and growth opportunities in the future. And that's really where I try to help my clients say, you know, I went to a lot of conservative Republican clients who run big companies back during the election of 2020. And as we did a lot of research prior to that election and looking at the policies of the Democrats back then, every one of them was so different from President Trump's at that time, especially when it came to the environment. And so I went to all my clients and said, look, do you realize that if President Trump loses, this is going to be the biggest shift in environmental policy in our lifetime?
Yeah.
And so that's my job, is to like present a different point of view to people and to really guide them towards the future, really realizing the risks, the challenges, but also the opportunities.
Right. And there are those for everything. Well, is there anything that we really, I feel that there's this pent up demand for live events, that people want to get out and be face to face. I think, what do you think? And I kind of have a twofold question. First, do you think we're moving into endemic? Are we there yet? You've studied pandemics. And secondly, is it my imagination that there's this massive pent up demand that people will always want to meet face to face? We know now that we can't live without that.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Jane. I mean, people want to get together. And so when I go to conferences, there's a palpable joy in the room of people getting together, shaking hands, saying hello. Look, there's risks. We know this from all the mutations of the virus. Mm-hmm. The best news that I bring to all the clients and the people that I appear before is we have moved from pandemic to endemic and maybe into a flu-like situation, very nasty flu. But this is what we see with many of the pandemics that have occurred. This is the transition they make because they're viruses and they're unstable. They're missing a gene, basically. And so they don't want to die. So if they morph into something that kills everything that they gets infected, well, that's not good for their long-term survival. So they mutate and then become less virulent, but more contagious. And that's what we've seen.
Omicron, that's exactly what we've seen.
Yeah. So I've had 3 shots. I had Omicron over New Year's Eve, survived that. I think I just had the latest one. I don't know, but I didn't die. A, B, I didn't have to go to the hospital.
Right.
And the best thing too is like Pfizer and other drug companies are developing therapies similar to what we call Tamiflu, which helped everybody get over the flu, similar to that. The biggest worry when it comes to COVID is not so much in the United States, it's China. Because they're still approaching it like they did in 2020, where they're trying to shut down everything.
It's harsh.
Yeah, and then test everybody. It's a Sisyphean task in the sense that when you have a virus that's very contagious, if you get anybody together, you're going to spread it. So if you make people line up to get tested, they're likely to spread the disease.
That's the only time they're allowed out. They're not even allowed out to walk their dogs.
Yeah, it's really bad. But the problem for the rest of the world is that they shut down big blocks of their economy. This is what they did in February of 2020. It caused a lot of problems. This is what they do right now when it comes to manufacturing. People can't get parts because if they have people in Shanghai, that's one of the regions that they just recently shut down. So those are the things that cause problems for the rest of the world.
I hadn't even thought about that latest shutdown being a part, you know, how many things in your house weren't made in China? Really? Like how many things in your house? I look around, everything I have is probably,
Well, how about Canada, right? Canada has to import toothpicks. Now think about that for a second. That's insane, right? There's more wood in Canada than any place.
We have trees. What's your
toilet paper? Same thing. I mean, it's just like so that's one of the other big themes that I talk about to clients is with the supply chain, do you start to reshore the manufacturing process back to your home country or, back to Canada or back to Mexico or the United States? As those supply chains got really stretched, that's what people have to start thinking about, which is not easy to do. There's a lot of expertise and skills over in China that we've lost in our countries because it's so much cheaper to do it there. Maybe that wasn't a good decision. Maybe we should bring that back. That's what we discovered during trying to get the vaccines, right? And the ingredients for those vaccines, some of them were only manufactured in China or India. So, it's a rethink about globalization overall, which I think is a healthy thing.
And if we bring more manufacturing jobs back, then of course that's more jobs and those are good things. And keeping the costs low, I know, is the hard part.
Sure.
Andy, as usual, you are the great calmer downer. We still are going to end this on a positive note because we know that people want to meet. We know that there may be some, other things that come down the pike. Obviously, nobody can know exactly what's going to happen with war, with all of the things that are going on in the world right now. But I really appreciate hearing your input from someone who just studies it all day, every day.
Yeah, the best thing I can tell everyone is this. Look, we all survived 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can adjust and morph yourself to go to virtual and then deal with that world and then do combined and hybrids, we found a way to survive. And we've overcome, adapted, and survived. And that's the best news. So when we see things like the war in the Ukraine, it's depressing, but just try to keep in mind, you can overcome this as well. And maybe even help the people in the Ukraine overcome by donating, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
But I would just keep a positive outlook on things happening because there are good things happening. It just doesn't get reported in the media a whole lot.
Well, I want to put in a plug for the Red Cross. I did my research and that's where I'm putting my Ukrainian dollars towards. One of my friends, a couple of friends made borscht and they sold soup to the tune of $7,000.
That's great.
Ukrainian Red Cross. So
wonderful.
I just love seeing, I think that where there is strife, there is opportunity. And so COVID, we figured that out. we actually realize now that the opportunity is that virtual is here to stay. And now we can potentially work that into all of our packages and that it will be something that we continue to do because why not? We're set up for it. We're ready to go. We can do it very, very easily from our backyards in our comfy rabbit slippers.
People need help. People need to see the future. People need to understand what's coming. They need help with motivation, leadership. I mean, a wide range of things now more than ever.
So all those corporate initiatives did not go away.
No, they did not.
But if anything, they amplified and a whole new crop came up. So yay for speakers. All right, Andrew Bush, if people want to get in touch with you, how's the best way for them to connect with you?
Sure. Andrew, my website is andrewbush.com. So it's Bush like the beer, B-U-S-C-H. You can go there. You can get free research. You can follow me on Twitter at A-B-U-S-C-H or hit me up on LinkedIn. Either way, I'd love to hear from you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening. And we hope that we've given you positivity about the world and what is coming down the pipe, maybe a little bit of brace for impact for a few things that are coming. Thank you for that, and we'll see you soon, Wealthy Speakers. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to wealthyspeakerschool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.